Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today, again, you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today, I have a very interesting topic I want to talk about and bring before your hearing. This will probably get a lot of listens to it as well, like a lot of our more controversial topics. Because today I want to talk about the real adjutancy, the bishops, chaplains, the real adjutancy. It's going to be good. I promise you that. It's going to be a lot of good information that is given. Hopefully I can dismiss some of the error and that's being taught about this particular position and not just give you my take, but give you a historical perspective on this particular ministry. Most of the time, I was talking with Apostle Browder this morning, and most of the time what people do, and he had a very good scripture that he was talking about this morning from Hebrews chapter 5. Many people, they get dull of hearing when you talk about issues like this because all they know is what they've been taught. And when somebody like myself come along and try to teach them a non-biased point of view of seeing these things and looking at things, they tend to readily dismiss it because it does not fit what they have been taught and what they have been made to believe. And so I pray today that your hearing is not dull, that you are ready to hear and ready to learn about what is the real adjutancy. Okay, with that being said, let's look at a few things, and I'm going to give you what some other people have said, and I'm going to give you my take, and I'm going to give you the historical point, and we'll be through. In the black church, this is more so in the black church than in the white church, we use people called, even though there are some white ministers that do have these offices, ministries, we have people we call armor bearers and adjutants. In the book of 1 Samuel 16 and 21, the Bible says, and David came to Saul and stood before him and loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. What a lot of people don't understand, and there's a bishop, I'm not going to mention his name, I am looking at his book right now, it's not who many of you think. He says that people think these positions are different, but they're not. Let me read his book. In many churches, there is a qualitative difference between the armor bearer and the adjutant. Where this paradigm exists, you might find an axiom wherein not all armor bearers are recognized as adjutants, but all adjutants are armor bearers. He goes on to say the term armor bearer and adjutants are both military terms. But obviously the former terms apply to a person serving the rank during a time when armies and soldiers use armor. In modern warfare, armor is not used, nor does the adjutant in modern armed forces have the same function. But in the church, there are tremendous, he said, parallels between armor bearers and adjutants. He goes on to say something else in his book. He said, armor bearers protect kings and other high-ranking officers during period of combat by going in front of them carrying shields and other protective armors. Interesting. Someone else he says here, in the church today, armor bearers aren't used with axe to kill anyone, but they will often be a part of a team of ministers and elders who stand ready to serve the pastors, first ladies, and even senior elders of their churches. He goes on to say in his book, the key here is that a church might have many people who are called armor bearers, but not so many people who are called adjutants. Also, many people who serve as adjutants for certain occasions without actually carrying any title. And then he says here, I'm looking for what I read earlier in this particular book, where he actually says both words mean the same thing. Both words. There's no difference. He said, though we make it different, there's no difference, he says in his book, between an armor bearer and an adjutant. There's no difference. People say that there are, but he says in his book, there's no difference. between the two. Let me throw out some other stuff here. There's a scripture when a lot of our folks, when they talk about the adjacency, they take a scripture where God tells Moses that, Moses, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. That scripture has nothing to do about sanctifying a leader. It talks about sanctifying God. But it has become the battle cry for the adjutancy, is that the adjutant is supposed to sanctify the leader in the eyes of the people. Scripture that is usually used as a theme has nothing to do with the leader. It has to do with sanctifying. Moses did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people. A few other things here. I'm quoting, it says something that adjutants should have thick skin in this business. I remember a few months ago being in the adjutancy course. The young man, he taught, but he taught as though he was scared of his bishop who was sitting there in the service, who happened to be his father. And I was like, why are we teaching our adjutants, our people that assist us in the ministry, to be afraid of us? They have to have thick skin. And he kept repeating over and over again, you never know, you might be rebuked by your leader. You might be rebuked by your leader. You may be rebuked by your leader. You may be rebuked by your leader. That sounds like programming to me. That sounds like somebody programming somebody to be their proxy and all that. But don't get me wrong now. I'm not going that route today that you think I may be going. I'm going somewhere else. I just want you to pay attention, because it's not about having thick skin. Because if I am supposed to be the chief servant, anybody that works with me are not working, not so much serving me, but they're supposed to be serving God as they work with me. You're supposed to help my load be lighter. You work along with me as I serve. We both serve. Your capacity is a little different from mine, but we serve together. We fight together. So this is some of the qualifications that they listed as the qualification for an adjutant. It said a faithful 100% tither, a servant heart, a desire to serve, a love for God, a love for his servant, a loyalty and faithfulness to God, a loyalty and faithfulness to his servant. Now, I don't know if you see this or not, but this is good and it's bad. It said a faithfulness to aid and assist the leader, a desire to continually lift up God's servant. So you said God, love servant. Faithfulness, loyalty to God, faithfulness, loyalty to serve. So if I'm not being faithful to God, servant, God's servant, I'm not being faithful to God. And so then that has led to, there being a willing to assist and aid the leader and desire to continue to live God's servant. Sometimes they have led to people doing things in the adjutancy they should not be doing. That's not what I want to talk about today. I just want to throw some stuff out here, and then I'm going to go to what I actually want to deal with. The adjutant, if you want to have those, is supposed to be a servant. They're supposed to serve the servant. Jesus, interestingly or not, never had an adjutant, because he said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And a lot of times when people get adjutants, they tend to forget that their job calls for them to serve first. How can I ask somebody to serve me when I'm not serving people themselves? In the ancient churches, this is the adjutancy from the ancient church point of view. It's from a historical point of view. This is the adjutancy. In the ancient church, they have a position called the bishop's chaplain. And they also have a position called masters of ceremony or master of liturgical ceremonies. These three individuals are what would be termed the adjutancy for the bishop. Every bishop or archbishop will have a personal chaplain. If they are presiding over a worship service or liturgy, the bishop presiding will usually have two chaplains, while any other bishops present will have one chaplain to assist him. And the job of a bishop chaplain, if you're listening to this Blog Talk program, you will see it inside the intro for the program. They are the chaplain to the bishop or archbishop only. Their role is to be the bishop's private secretary. They are to attend and assist him or her in any service they wear the mitre and carries the crozier. And it also says, charismatic as a sign of honor and for practical assistance. So then, it, first of all, it tells us that anytime the bishop is in service, in a worship service, in a liturgy, he has a chaplain to assist him in what he does. This chaplain acts as his assistant, as a, watch this, sign of honor and practical assistant when he wears the mitre and when he carries the crozier. So this would mean doing a Eucharistic liturgy or doing what they would call in the ancient church a liturgy of hours, a prayer service, what we as most of us Pentecostal Protestant would call a worship service, a prayer service. And so the bishop's chaplain would be a private secretary, his private secretary. He will attend and assist him or her, if this bishop is a her, in his any service, they wear the mitre and carry the crozier. Literally, when he's functioning as a bishop in the liturgy, he has a chaplain that assists him. This chaplain also acts as his proxy on boards and on commissions and in the organization. When the bishop cannot be present, his chaplain goes and represents him. They also personally minister and praise for the bishop. This doesn't mean they minister to their sexual needs, but literally this person ministers and prays for the bishop. This chaplain becomes his personal confessor, his personal preacher, his personal pastor. Y'all didn't catch that. This chaplain, this elder, or maybe a deacon, becomes the bishop's personal pastor that he goes to for wisdom. He goes to have him minister to his personal needs. He goes to have him pray for him. And if he's an archbishop, if the bishop is an archbishop, then the chaplain also carries the archiepiscopal cross before the archbishop. If it's a primate, then it's the primatal cross. He carries it before the primate of a jurisdiction. So these are some of the things that a chaplain does, what some of y'all would call an armor bearer, but the ancient church is called a bishop's chaplain. So the primary focus, I see Apostle Green has popped up on my little thing right here. Good afternoon, sir.
Blessings and peace, all.
Amen. So their primary responsibility is to literally make it easier for the bishop to focus on the liturgy and the congregation without having to worry about different liturgical customs. Because, you know, you go to different churches, they do things different ways. I've had talks with my own personal adjutant apostolic. I hate to use that term, but that's what he acts. That's what he does for us. He's our adjutant apostolic. He's our master of liturgical ceremonies. And about the different customs sometimes that he goes to different churches and they do things this way, they do things that way. That's part of what the bishop chaplain, what y'all would call an adjutant, does. He finds out the liturgical customs in that area. So when he goes to that area, his bishop is already aware of what must be done, what cannot be done, what the people are expecting from him in that particular locale when he gets there. So he does not have to find out there. And plus, the chaplain of the bishop also helps the bishop by holding his books, helping him put his mitre on, doing the liturgy, telling him when to take it off, telling him when to remove it, helping him do the very different nuances that take place in the middle of the liturgy. Green, you got something you want to add some of this?
Amen. Well, you're actually covering everything quite well and perfectly along the way. That bishop's assistant during the liturgy, they would work in a very intimate fashion, assisting the bishop in all those areas. He would hand them the censure so that everything would flow in an Orthodox Catholic ancient service. You notice a flow because they work in tandem, hand in hand. There's very little delay because that chaplain is one step ahead.
Mm-hmm. And so, one of the things, in historically speaking, you don't see what we call a bishop of protocol or director of protocol among the ancient churches. But you do see what we call a master of ceremonies or a master of liturgical ceremonies. Most time when we think master ceremony, we think the person who's MC at the service. But most of the time, it's the bishop that presides over the service. Because we usually, sometimes I go to church and I see they have such and such, if the bishop is preaching, but this person is presiding over the service. The only person that presides over the service is the person that sits in the center chair. No matter, you may have somebody up there that's directing the floor and up there doing the program, reading off names, telling this person to do this, that, but they are not the presider over the service. The presider over the service is always the chief minister in charge of the service. That means if you are the pastor, whoever, whatever elder, minister, or deacon you put up there to MC the service, they are not the presider of the service. The presider over the service is the person sitting in the center chair, the president's chair. That's the person who is the presider over the service. Again, matter of fact, the center chair is not really called the pastor's chair. The center chair is actually called the president's chair because whoever sit there is the president over the Christian assembly. That's why the bishop is called episcopos, because he's president, he's overseer, or he's the pastor of the local church, and he presides from his chair over the Christian assembly, the Christian worship. And so that person who sits in that chair is the presider over the service, not the MC, not all these other titles y'all give them, not protocol director, but what the protocol person does, what the liturgical person does, what the master ceremony does, is helps the presider person who's presiding over the service make sure that the liturgy goes across smoothly. It goes across smooth. Everything happened in order. In the Anglican church, you will see these vergers, V-E-R-G-E-R-S. They wear, just like the bishop, they wear a shamir. Usually their shamir is not red, it's some other color, and it made it just a little bit different than the bishop's, but they wear a shamir. There's a shamir, and they wear usually a cassock. Shamir and cassock. You know, some people say, it's out of order just to wear the shamir and cassock without the rochette. But you can wear, the vergers wear shamir and cassocks without the rochette or without the surplice on, and they usually have a verg in their hand. That staff is called a verg, hence they are called burgers. And with that staff, they direct the worship service. They go around and find the person that goes next in service, and they go get them so the bishop doesn't have to stand up and say, next in line in our program is going to be such and such to read the scripture. Next in line in our program is such and such, because the church is not supposed to be, the worship is not a business meeting. And many times we direct our services like it's a business meeting. Please stand for the reading of the scripture by such and such. Please remain standing while such and such pray. In all that, we make the church a business meeting instead of a order of service, where everybody should know their part. And when you got a master ceremony, you don't have to announce who's next because they got a program in their hand. And the person who's the master ceremony or the bishop chaplain go get the next person in line and walk with them to their place. And you just stand with them while they're doing that, and then they go away. And then the next person comes up, So it's orderly. It's done in order. It does not look like a business meeting. It does not look like you say, well, next in line in our program is such and such. Next in line is such and such. Next in line is such and such. Next in line is such and such. Because you don't need people to do that in the program. What you need is the bishop or the pastor who's sitting in that center chair to act like they're supposed to act. That's why we call them celebrants. That's why the main person who sits in the center chair is called the chief celebrant. Why? Because he is the head celebrant among all the other celebrants in the assembly of worship. As we celebrate Christ, he's the chief worshiper. He is directing the worship from his chair, from his seat, from his throne, be he pastor or be he elder or presbyter in charge, be he a parish priest or parish elder, be he bishop or apostle or whatever he's calling himself or she calling herself, they are directing the worship flow from the center chair. And so we have the master ceremony. Sometimes they are master ceremonies. Sometimes this bishop Adson is the master ceremony. Sometimes he's not. And if he's not the master ceremony, then he takes his orders from the bishop and the master ceremony so that he knows what's supposed to be going on, what bishop supposed to be, where the bishop supposed to look, so the bishop doesn't look crazy and the bishop's job is easy. You got anything you want to add, Apostle?
Nothing to add. So far, so great.
And so, flipping back one more time to the other thing, because people love to fight. and talking about there's a difference between bishop, armor bearers and adjuncts. It's no difference, just different words. They both do the same thing. What has happened is we got people, they'll argue down about this stuff. Armor bearers and adjuncts are not the same. Both of them are called to be servants. Both of them are called to be servants. Only thing different is somebody a few years ago took the name adjutant from the military. They didn't take the name armor bearer, but they cast the name adjutant to the office of the bishop. That's the only thing different. But then in the Bible, you don't even see the word adjutant in the Bible, but you see the word armor bearer, and you see that every major leader in the Bible had them, because even the priests at that time in the Old Testament had people that fought for them because they couldn't fight, but they had to have somebody fight for them because they couldn't kill nobody. But they didn't. They had aides. They had people to help serve them, to keep them so that when they had to go to war, they didn't have to fight. That's one reason why usually our clergy, usually when they serve in the army, don't usually fight. And so an adjutant, there's no difference between the term adjutant and armor bearer. Even though I know that some people that listen to this, they're going to argue me down adamantly about it. Do what you want to do. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. But I stand on what I said. There's no difference between the two. And there's a book. I didn't write the book. Another bishop wrote the book. I don't mind giving out the name of the book. I'm not giving his name, but I'll give you the name of the book. It's called The Adjutant Manual. Go get it. You'll see. It's an interesting read. Not $9 on Kindle. And I'm not saying I agree with everything he has in the book, but I am saying this, is that he says in his book there's no difference between. One place he does say there's not a difference. It's just a matter of semantics. Then he goes on to talk about it from the sense that he was taught based on the group that he attended and who he learned his stuff from. I don't attend that group. I don't want to attend that group. And I'm not mentioning their name. But I do have information that they have placed out about this particular situation, because there is a Baptist pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, who wrote a blog on this particular thing, saying, are they biblical? And from his blog, he says they are not. And he said, and he mentioned a lot of things that I, too, take issue with as it relates to the adjutancy. Because, and I'm not mentioning his name, because some of you don't read the article, just like I read his blog article. And the adjutants become flunkies and yes men. Because I read to you, and I read it again. This is not my word. This is from the material that some of y'all got when y'all attend certain groups. It says that an adjutant must have thick skin. Now, if I got to have thick skin, why do I got to have thick skin? Well, according to the guy who taught the class that I attended, he said, because you never know when you're going to get rebuked by your leader. You know, you got to deny that you got to see stuff that sometimes you can't talk about. Thick skin is business, because sometimes you may get told off. You can get told off by your bishop in any minute. If your bishop disrespects you enough to keep rebuking you 24/7, I wouldn't serve that clown. I wouldn't serve him, with him, around him, or in his organization. I will get out of Dodge as quick as possible, because something wrong. If all he know how to do is rebuke you 24/7, he got authority issues. Hello, somebody. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. There's no, technically speaking, we don't see adjutants in the New Testament. We don't really see Paul with one, even though Paul had Silas, and people try to make it seem like Silas was Paul's adjutant. Silas was not Paul's adjutant. Silas was an apostle just like Paul. When Paul and Barnabas was a team, Barnabas was not Saul's adjutant. Barnabas was a team member with Paul, a co-laborer with Paul. Matter of fact, Paul called every one of these folks, that some people try to make it seem like these folks are in an adjutant position. Paul called these folks his co-laborers in the gospel. These are fellow apostles, Silas, Sabinius, Titus, Timothy, Barnabas, Aquila, Priscilla, Andronicus, and Junia, Phoebe, and the unnamed apostle. All these folks, Paul considered these to be co-laborers, not his adjutants. Your adjutant is not supposed to be your dog that dragging behind you, drooling after you like you his master. Your adjutant ain't supposed to be your sex fiend. Your adjutant ain't supposed to be none of that stuff. But no, that's not going to be my main thrust here. But I'm trying to say, because this is what's being talked about some of these people. I'm not saying these major groups teach that. Don't get me wrong, because I don't want y'all to say, well, he's trying to defame somebody. No, I'm not defaming anybody. I'm not trying to do that. But I do know that I had a young man in Atlanta had a nerve to tell me back in 2007 that I should let him be my adjutant because he does this for his business, he does this. I said, you must be crazy. You must be out of your mind. Out of your mind. And then even now, I've had talked to adjutants where they said they dress their bishop, they bathe their bishop, they do all this stuff. Man, y'all sick. Y'all ain't supposed to be dressing your bishop, bathing him. I can see if you helped him put his garments on. But you ain't supposed to be putting his drawers on him. You ain't supposed to be bathing him. That's his wife's job. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get there. But this is one reason why folks fight the adjutancy. Because so much mess has crept into the adjutancy. People have done so many crazy things. There's some good teaching about it, and there's some bad teaching about it. And you got some crazy folks that are perverted in their last mind. And the devil's bringing all kinds of sins and stuff into the church. And he's doing it because a lot of these silly leaders are doing stuff they ain't got no business doing. Lord, have mercy. Why? How did that go there? So, and don't get me wrong, I got to say this again, because sometimes when you say stuff, people say, well, you talking about this. I'm not saying nobody teaching nothing. But what I am saying is that I have met armor bearers and adjutants who, when I went to these different churches, they told me what they do, and I said, no, you ain't doing none of that for me. That's one reason why I go to my own churches, and when I go to different people outside of my group, they're either a member of the Congress or they're people that I know and trust, because I'm not getting tied up in no crazy mess. I'm not getting tied up in nobody's drama. I'm not getting tied up into this, that, and a third. No. Bishops, your adjutants, your chaplain is not supposed to serve you like you God. He's supposed to serve you as you serve God's people. And that's what's wrong with church. We do too many crazy stuff. We do too much stuff, and we call it God, and God ain't nowhere in it. You got something else you want to add to this, Apostle Green?
Not a word.
So, there's more to this thing than what I've talked about, because originally, before there was bishop chaplains, it was the deacon who was the adjutant of the bishop. That's one reason why, and I know Apostle can vouch for that, that deacons were the immediate secretaries of the bishop. They assisted the bishop. They was what you call it, the hands of the bishops.
Yes. Yeah, you would call the presbytery the extended arm of the episcopacy, and you would consider the deacon the very hand of the bishop.
It's almost like what we said sometimes when we preach. God has no hands unless he uses our hands. He has no feet unless he uses our feet. He has no arm. Not saying that we limited God, but in this world, the only part of God that people see is us and him working through us and with us and among us. And so, and then I remember somebody told the story while they were preaching. They were praying and said, God, will you just touch me? Will you just hug me? Let me know you will. Got 90 seconds, got to wrap it up. And the story ends that somebody tapped the person on the shoulder and said, I just need to hug you and say, I love you. And they were like, God, why didn't you hug me? He said, I did. You told me to do it, and I told the person behind you to reach, because I'm reaching out through them to hug you. And that's what the deacons. The deacon, like you said, the deacon and the presbyter, they are the extension of the bishop's ministry. They're the hands and the arms of the bishop. We're all called to serve. We're not out of time here. We're all called to serve. And I close with this hymn that my granddad used to sing. And everybody used to thought it was A. Charles, but it was A. Charles to keep I have, A. God to glorify. A never dying soul to stay, I want it fitted for the sky. Oh man, all my power engage. I miss where he said, to serve the present age. To serve the present age. For me to serve, that's the present age. In this day, that's what I'm supposed to do. To serve the present age. A calling, my calling to fulfill. Oh man, all my power engage. Because I want to do my master's will. We are all called to serve. Did y'all hear me? We're all called to serve. You ain't better than Jesus. If you think you don't post serve anymore, then stop leading. Because if you can't lead, can't serve, you sure can't lead anybody. If you're not willing to serve, you are not willing, you're not able to lead anybody. God bless you. My name is Bishop Henry. I've been joined by Apostle Green for these past 30 minutes, and you have been listening to The Apostolic Voice. God bless you. God have a great day.